Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
All right, in this segment, we're going to take a look at an overview of the book of Genesis, which is the first of the 66 books of the Bible, and upon which foundation the whole of Scripture rests. In fact, every major doctrine of Scripture is found in the book of Genesis in at least seed form. And that right there is a fascinating revelation. As we study it, we will see that in at least seed form, every doctrine of Holy Scripture is found right here in this book of Genesis, this book of beginnings or origins of life. It records the creation of God and the purposed order in it. Also, the fall of man in sin, chapter 3, and the striking contrast between the first words of Genesis and the final words. The first words of the book of Genesis are, quote, "In the beginning, God," and then the last or final words of this 50-chapter book are, quote, "In a coffin in Egypt," and perhaps coffin represents sin and death by sin, separation, that is, from God, and Egypt representing the world. Also, depending on its context, the word Genesis can mean birth or genealogy or history of origin. In both its Hebrew and Greek forms, the traditional title of Genesis appropriately describes its contents, since it is primarily a book of beginnings. Now, Genesis speaks of beginnings of, that is, the heavens and the earth, light and darkness, of seas and skies, of land, vegetation, luminaries, or the sun, the moon, and the stars, sea and air and land animals, of human beings made in God's image, the highest form of His creation, if you will, the climax of it in the sixth day of creation. It speaks of marriage and family, of society and civilization. Genesis speaks of sin and redemption, right there in the first three chapters, by the way. A golden nugget scripture, too, that we want to always take a close look at is chapter 3, verse 15, where we have the first mention of the Redeemer after the fall of man, right there in the same chapter, chapter 3. And this one bears reading because I want to draw your attention to it for your life study here in this all-important book of origins, where chapter 3, verse 15, we read, "And I will put enmity," or hatred, "between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed," that's speaking of Christ, "and her seed." Women don't even have seed, if you will. They get the seed from the man in order to become pregnant. But in this case, this was prophetic of the seed of the woman, which would be Christ, who was born of a virgin, even Mary. And it was the seed of the Holy Spirit who impregnated Mary with the very Son of God. So this is speaking of Him and how He will come and bruise thy head, Satan's head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. In other words, that's illustrative of Christ defeating Satan completely and suffering but a bruise in doing so. This is what some call Calvary's heel, if you will. And so that's the first mention of Christ in the Bible and His redemptive work, where He would come and and redeem his now fallen race. So the book of Genesis here, as we continue with this overview, Genesis records, as we begin to talk about creation and the purpose and organization of it, which is seen in the first chapter, beginning in the first chapter, where the days of creation are day one, light. The second day of creation is the firmament, or the heavens, and the third is the earth, the dry land, the vegetation. Fourth day, light bearers, or luminaries, if you will, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And then on the fifth day of creation, fish and birds. The sixth day of creation, land, animals, and man. And then the seventh day, God said it was good, and he rested. So we see a purposed creation done by an all-knowing, all-wise, loving God, and how nothing was by accident. This is very important for the purpose of life and finding the purpose of life. And this is one of the primary reasons why God gave us this recording of the book of Genesis. It is a microcosm of all that God has revealed to us. Again, every doctrine of the Bible is found in at least seed form in this book of Genesis. And now, before we get into the author, the theme, the date of this writing of Genesis, the background, and perhaps the purpose and special features and the New Testament fulfillment found out of the book of Genesis, let me say this. A number of years ago, I was talking with a lady who was an anthropology professor in anthropology, or the study of peoples, and it was very interesting that she had never read the book of Genesis, without which, and without such a record, we could never understand how the peoples of the earth came about as we see them today. And that would be concerning the three sons of one Noah. The three sons of Noah overspread the earth, the scriptures say, in Genesis 6 through like chapter 10. And their names were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The sons of Noah that went forth of the ark when God saved eight souls, as the New Testament testifies also, in the ark and the flood of Noah and of Noah's day, where all rebels were drowned by the flood, and eight souls were saved, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Here it is, and it's many times in Genesis 9:18. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah. And of them was the whole earth overspread. And then it goes into details about Shem and his people who would descend from him, and Ham and Japheth in latter part of Genesis 9 and 10. But it was interesting that this lady had never studied and was not enlightened to the biblical revelation from the Creator of how the peoples of the earth came to be. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem being the father, if you will, the progenitor of the Shemites, the Jews, and the people of the east. Ham being the progenitor of the people of the great continent of Africa, and the people of the son of Noah named Japheth. He's the father of the European, or the Caucasian peoples of the earth. And so without this foundational knowledge, which is so very enlightening in many ways, there's no way to truly see the people of the earth and the way they overspread the earth and occupy the continents of the earth. There's no way to see that and to see through the grid and the perspective of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the creator of all that is. For by him and for him were all things created. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Jesus not only created, but upholds all of life. All things were created by him and for him, Colossians 1:16. I thought I'd throw that in. It cannot be underscored or overemphasized how important it is to know the book of Genesis and to perhaps at some point in your life decide that you're going to master this book. You're going to master. What does it mean to master a book of the Bible? It means to study it over and over and over and read it through and study it. That's two different things, reading and studying to some degree. Maybe read it through 5 or 10 times or maybe even 20 times. From chapter 1 through 50, and then go back and study closer each part of the book of Genesis. Not only each context, passage, but words, etc. This would be quite a book to master. And the best way to learn Genesis, such is the case with any book or any portion of the Bible, is to teach it, to consider teaching it. You can do that in many ways through the communication mediums that we have today. And I would highly encourage you in that. Now, we should take note that it takes the whole Bible, the whole Bible, the whole revelation of God to make a whole disciple or fully mature child of God. It takes the whole Bible to do such. Let's look at a little bit of a background of the book of Genesis. Genesis appropriately stands as the first book of the Old Testament, and it serves as an essential introduction to the whole of the Bible. Its author is Moses. Its theme is the beginning of all things in God's creation, as he revealed it to us, that is. The date is approximately 1445 to 1405 BC. The book's title, Genesis, in Hebrew, and in the English Bible actually, is the Greek translation of the Hebrew title, which means the origin or source, creation or beginning of something. Genesis is the book of beginnings. We have the creation of God, beginning in the first chapter, as we spoke about a moment ago, and how it breaks down and how he created the light. He said, "Let there be light," the firmament or the heavens, the dry land. The firmament, the heavens being that which is above the earth as opposed to the earth itself, but that sphere, if you will. There are three heavens, you know, the immediate sphere that cover around the earth and then up from there. And then the third heaven, Paul calls being in heaven with God. The third day we have in the organized purpose creation of God, the dry land. Fourth day, light bearers or the sun, the moon, and the stars. Fifth day, fish and birds. Sixth day, animals and humans. And the rest day on chapter 7. I know that's a little redundant, but it bears repeating and to lay this foundation and help you to have a perspective as you study through the book of Genesis, and your knowledge will become more organized and able to think through, if you will, and meditate on and be able to communicate to others. Genesis, again, is a microcosm of all that God has revealed to us. And every doctrine of Scripture is found in at least seed form in the book of Genesis. The author of Genesis is the Holy Spirit through Moses. His name is nowhere mentioned in the book, and yet the testimony of the rest of Scripture, the remainder of Scripture, tells us that Moses was the author. For example, in you will recall in the book of Matthew, where Jesus is being asked about what Moses wrote about marriage and how he gave a command concerning writing of divorcement. And so that associates Moses with the Pentateuch. That comes out of several places, including Deuteronomy, the fifth of the five books of Moses, and chapter 24. Also, in the 24th chapter of Matthew, we see how Jesus is referring to the flood of Noah when he says, "But as the days of Noah were," that's recorded in where? The book of Genesis, beginning, I believe, in chapter 6 through 10. "So shall all also the coming of the Son of Man be? So Jesus validates that Moses wrote the book of Genesis specifically, and there are many other references to this in the New Testament. Ancient Jewish writers, continuing here with our background of the book of Genesis, ancient Jewish writers and the early church fathers unanimously testify that Moses was the author of the book of Genesis as far as men go. The scripture tells us in 2 Peter 1:19 through 21 that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and Moses was that man who recorded Genesis and four other books of scripture, which are the first five books of the Bible called the Torah, or the Pentateuch, or the books of Moses. Now, insofar as the entire history of Genesis antedates Moses' life, his role in writing Genesis was largely to integrate, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, all the available written and oral records from Adam to the death of Joseph that are now preserved in this book called Genesis. In fact, the life of Joseph is on record in the last, 13 or 14 chapters of this book of Genesis, which is a 50-chapter book, beginning in chapter 37, the life of Joseph, which is one of the most fascinating stories and lives recorded in Scripture, and who was in many ways a type of Christ, if you will. Perhaps an indication of the historical records used by Moses when writing Genesis is found in the 11 occurrences of the phrase, quote, "these are the generations of," unquote. 11 times this is found in this book of Genesis, which also may be translated, "these are the histories by." Genesis accurately records creation, the beginnings of human history, and the origin of the Hebrew people and God's covenant with them through Abraham and the other patriarchs. That begins in the latter part of chapter 11 and beginning part of chapter 12. Abraham is the first Jew. God began the Jewish race, his people, with faithful Abraham, who is called the father of our faith in Romans chapter 4. Its historical reliability, the book of Genesis, the record of the book of Genesis, as inspired scripture, is certified in the New Testament, as I said earlier, over and over, and cited in the New Testament numerous times, and including two times in Matthew that we cited just a moment ago, Matthew 19 concerning marriage and how Jesus speaks of the days of Noah, which is on record by the hand of Moses, inspired by the Holy Spirit in this book or this record of Genesis. Genesis's historicity continues to be confirmed by modern archaeological, if you will, discoveries. Moses was remarkably prepared by education, and the New Testament tells us that, and by God to write this unique first book of the Bible. In fact, Acts chapter 7 verse 22 says this. It says, "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and deeds." This was an extremely educated man. You will recall that by divine providence, it was Pharaoh's daughter, the king of Egypt, who whisked Moses as a baby out of the water and raised him in Egypt. And he was trained, as this scripture records in Acts 7:22. He was very well educated. It says again, Acts 7:22, "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds." Continuing on with the purpose and the background of this book of Genesis, Genesis provides saints an essential foundation for the remainder of the Pentateuch, penta meaning five, the books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Genesis provides that essential foundation for the understanding of those subsequent four books and all subsequent biblical revelation, saints. It preserves the only trustworthy record about the beginnings of the universe, humankind, marriage, sin, cities, languages. Remember that? Tower of Babel, chapter 11. Nations, Israel, beginning with Abraham, end of chapter 11 and beginning of verse chapter 12 here in Genesis. And redemptive history, the fall of man and the redemption, the prophesied Redeemer, right there in the third chapter of this book of Genesis. Genesis was written in accordance with God's purpose to give His covenant people in both the Old Testament and the New Testament a foundational understanding of Himself. First of all, who is the central theme of all of Scripture, that is Christ, creation, also understanding a functional or foundational understanding of creation, the human race, how it began and why we see it to be as it is today, not only physically but spiritually, the fall, death, judgment, covenant, and the promise of redemption through the seed of Abraham, through which Christ came. Moving on here, a survey of the book of Genesis. Genesis divides into two major parts. Chapter 1 through 11, they provide an overview of the human beginnings from Adam to Abraham and focus on five events: creation, the fall of man, Cain and Abel, the great flood of Genesis, the Noahic, Noah's flood, the Tower of Babel, which is incredibly fascinating and important, after the flood, and then chapters 12 through 50 record the beginnings of the Hebrew people, again, that began with Abraham, some of the special features of Genesis. And let me stop to say this, I probably should have said it in the beginning, there is no way to exhaust Genesis. I mean, it's just too vast and too detailed and beautiful. So this is not designed to be exhaustive by any means, beloved. I'm sure a lot of other people could do a better job, but it is to whet your appetite to study this book of God's Word, the first of the 66, which is so very important. There are seven major features or emphasis that characterized in Genesis. Number one, it was the first book of the Bible written. Well, with the possible exception of the book of Job, which chronologically came before Genesis, we believe, but it is the first book in the Bible. It records the beginning of human history, sin, the Hebrew people, and redemption, as was mentioned earlier. The second special feature of Genesis would be the history in Genesis spans a larger period of time than the rest of the Bible combined. Wow. Beginning with the first human couple, broadening to pre-flood world history, and then narrowing to Hebrew history as the first redemptive or the redemptive stream that is traced throughout the remainder of the Old Testament. The third special feature in Genesis or of Genesis is that it reveals that the material universe and life on earth are distinctly God's work and not an independent process of nature. 50 times, check this out. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, God is the subject of verbs showing what He did as the Creator. Interesting. All right, the fourth special feature to note about Genesis is that it is a book of firsts, recording the first marriage, the first family, the first birth, the first sin, the first murder. Remember, Cain Cain killed his brother Abel in chapter 4. The first polygamists, I guess the first Mormons, are found in Genesis. All right, that was a joke. All right, the first musical instruments right there in the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis. Check this out. Did you know the first instrument is actually mentioned in the fourth chapter of the Bible? I think maybe that denomination called the Church of Christ needs to kind of get a revelation of this, right? In case you don't know, they don't believe in heaven. Instruments in their churches. Genesis 4:21, it says, and his brother's name was Jubal. You know how we get the word jubilee and other musical terms? It says he was the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ. So right there in Genesis chapter 4, right in the beginning of the Bible, verse 21, we see the mention of the man who created the first instruments. Winding down here, again, the first promise, there's more here. Not only the first instruments, first marriage, family, redemption, if you will, like first family, marriage, family, birth, sin, murder, polygamist, instruments, first promise of redemption, chapter 3, verse 15, again, and the like. All right, the fifth special feature of Genesis is the covenant of God with Abraham, which began with his call in the beginning of chapter 12. Abraham's call, he was the first Jew, the progenitor, if you will, of the Jewish people. It was made formal in chapter 15. It was ratified in chapter 17. It's central to all of Scripture. Abraham and his life and his faith in God is central to all of redemption and Scripture. All right, the sixth feature of the seven, as we close here, in Genesis, of the book of Genesis, is that Genesis alone explains the origin of the 12 tribes of Israel. It reveals how the descendants of Abraham ended up in Egypt for 430 years, which the book of Galatians notes, and thus sets the stage for the Exodus, the central redemptive event of the Old Testament, which prefigures Christ's salvation. That was the number seventh feature, saints. Genesis reveals how the descendants of Abraham ended up in Egypt for 430 years. Egypt always represents the world, and thus sets the stage for the Exodus, the second book of the Bible, the central redemptive event in the Old Testament, where God split the Red Sea and brought his people through, which is a clear picture of our salvation in Christ. Now, again, saints, this is definitely just an overview, as you would get it, if you will, in a Bible school or in an Old Testament survey. And it would require your own personal reading, because our classes aren't long enough to go full detail of this vast, amazing book of Genesis. And let me say this as we close here, that there are New Testament fulfillments that come from Genesis, which reveal the prophetic history of redemption, and the Redeemer is coming through the seed of the woman. Genesis 3:15 could be the most important verse in this book. Through the line of Seth, through the line of Shem, and through the seed of Abraham, the New Testament applies chapter 12, verse 3, directly to God's provision of redemption in Jesus Christ. Numerous persons and events from Genesis are mentioned in the New Testament scriptures in relation to faith and righteousness, God's judgment, and the person of Christ. That ends this segment concerning the book of Genesis, and I hope you'll be encouraged to study it and to ultimately master this book, which will take probably many years of your life to come and be the most rewarding endeavor you could embark upon in the study of this beautiful book. Is ultra important to your life and understanding in Christ. Thank you for listening, saints, and may God bless your life richly in Christ. And wanted to encourage you to feel free to avail yourself to the edifying biblical resources on safeguardyoursoul.com.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God, and Remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.